Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we will focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Ampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire. Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 6. Before we start, we would like to say thank you to all of you who listen to this podcast, share your feedback with us, email us, or post your reviews online. We really appreciate your support. We've always wanted to be able to share what our listeners write to us, and today we have a review to share. Here's what our colleague Sam Mowry, French into English translator specializing in medicine and international development, wrote on Twitter. Finally got caught up on the first two episodes of Smart Habits for Translators. Guys, it's so good. You think you don't need another translation podcast, but this is so much more. It's the first podcast that I feel like addresses the life of a freelance translator, not just the business. Like, I have so many podcasts that tell me how to do business all the time, but this is the only one that considers you as a person who, though they might spend all their time on their business, is also a person. Brilliant and so, so necessary.
Thanks, Sam, for your review and for your kind words. It's especially encouraging and rewarding to hear that you get the idea behind our podcast. We talk about all of the issues that go on in our lives, both business and personal, because life is not just about work. And there are so many things we need to do for ourselves, first and foremost, in order to have the energy and motivation to build our freelance businesses.
So now let's talk about the topic of this episode. Today we'll be sharing some smart habits related to healthy exercise and nutrition habits. This can be a tough one for many of us because we tend to work long hours in front of the computer and, if we're not careful, without proper breaks for movement and to prepare a healthy meal. We tend to think of exercise first and foremost, but the truth is that it goes hand in hand with a healthy diet, drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, and many other factors. So we thought that we should talk about exercise and nutrition as one piece in this puzzle of making sure that you feel your best.
And we should address that we are not medical professionals, and we are also not giving medical advice. We're simply sharing what works or doesn't work for us. You should talk to your doctor before starting a new exercise routine or making any dietary changes.
And we also need to clarify that we're going to talk about exercise and nutrition, not from the perspective of losing weight or following a specific diet. This is not what our lifestyle goals are. I remember that we talked about it during our business retreat before the ATA conference, and we both agreed that we are very conscious of being positive role models for our kids. So we talk about being healthy or staying healthy, getting stronger, but never about losing weight or anything that can cause any sort of body image issues for our kids. So we both look at exercise and nutrition as the means to living a healthy and happy life and having the energy to do the things that we love, enjoy our work, and spend time with the people we love. So back to today's topic, would you say healthy exercise and nutrition habits are a challenge for you and the translators you know, Madalena?
Yes, I definitely think it can be. I would consider myself to be a fairly active person, for example. I enjoy exercise, getting outside, but if I become very busy, which is often the case, then getting in some healthy movement during the day can fall to the bottom of my priority list. And as we discussed in episode 1 about work-life clarity, it's important to take note of our priorities so that we can try to honor them even when we're busy.
Yes, I agree. I know for myself that I feel much better, happier, and more productive when I exercise and eat healthy. I tend to go through phases when I'm very organized and disciplined, and you know, I have all my workouts scheduled, and I actually manage to go and work out as I plan. But eventually something throws me, of course, you know, either my work schedule or something going on with the kids or with my family, and it can be difficult to get back on track. That being said, I think we need to give ourselves some grace and understanding that we all go through different phases in life. There were times in my life where when I was willing and able to go to the gym every day of the week, and there were other times when I had to make different priorities and find other ways of staying active. Whatever your situation is, I think it's important to start with being kind to yourself and finding what works for you. Right, so let's start with exercise then. There are many ways to get in exercise throughout the day, but a lot of us work from home and at a desk, and it can be a challenge. But we have some tips to share, of course, and we hope that you'll find them helpful. So I try to incorporate some sort of movement or exercise into my daily schedule. Not all days are perfect, but even when I do a few of these things, I call it a win. I think that like many other things in life, done is better than perfect. So here's how I try to sneak some movement and exercise into my day. My daughter's school, she goes to elementary school. Her school is just a 5-minute walk from our house. So unless the weather is horrible, which it is right now, I try to walk my daughter to school. And so that gives me and my kids some movement. I also schedule a workout every day. And I either go to the gym, which is very close to my home and makes it easy to get there and come back quickly, or I exercise at home. When the kids are back home, I play with them outside for 20 minutes before dinner, if the weather allows. They need movement too, and this is our playtime together. And on weekends, as a family, we walk to the park or walk around the lake together. We have fairly big backyards, so we have a trampoline there, and sometimes we all get up there and jump on the trampoline with our kids or play ball. It's especially important, I think, for us as parents, is being mindful of how we model our relationship with movement and exercise to our kids. And I definitely notice that if my kids see me sitting around all day for whatever reason, like if I'm sick or whatever, they also want to do that. But if I'm up there, you know, moving and playing and running around with them, they want to do that too. What about you, Madalena? How do you fit movement into your busy day?
I'm so impressed with your scheduling and everything. Wow. Those are all really awesome ideas. One thing I like to do for myself is to break up my exercise into shorter periods of time, especially when I'm extra busy. For example, if I want to take a long walk every day, then when I'm having a very hectic week, I might walk for half an hour in the morning and then half an hour in the evening, or I might even do a 30-minute Pilates workout during my lunchtime when my email and projects have slowed down a bit. I know that some translators do short spurts of exercise throughout the day as well. In fact, I heard this on Corinne McKay's and Eve Baudu's podcast, speaking of translation. They interviewed Eva Stabenow, and she talked about taking what she calls movement snacks throughout the day. Have you heard of this?
Yes, I loved that episode, and we'll definitely link to it in our show notes. I love the term movement snacks. Like anything else, the idea of doing something doesn't seem so overwhelming when you break it down to smaller bites. I think too often we just set huge goals for ourselves and then blame ourselves for not implementing them. And we should mention that Eva had a great presentation about stretching and movement during ATA's annual conference this year. She shared some great tips on how to stretch out those muscles that we constantly tighten and overstrain as we sit at our desks, typing all day. And she also has an Instagram account for her Pilates business where she plans to share some helpful videos soon. And we'll put her contact information in the show notes. Since I heard that podcast episode, I've been trying to incorporate movement snacks into my schedule because probably like you and many of our colleagues, if I am into something, I get carried away and I forget that I've been sitting for hours, you know? So yeah. I have been trying to stay organized and set a timer either on my phone or on my computer. You know, I installed that productivity app, Pomodoro technique. And I set the timer for 45 minutes of work and then stand up and stretch or like literally walk out of my home office and go do some things around the house that require me to stand.
Right.
Or go for a quick 10-minute walk, like to the mailbox maybe, or even like around the block here. And or just simply go up and down the stairs a few times, do some stretching. I really enjoy doing foam rolling and bowl rolling, and that's something you can do, you know, pretty much anywhere, even if you're in your home office, if you have to, or do a few simple yoga poses to stretch a little bit. And when I plan my schedule for the day, I break up the things I need to do around the house in like 10, 15 minute bites so that I can fit them between my work tasks. So it's like it's a break from work, but I'm also feeling that I'm doing something productive and moving.
Wow. I am so impressed.
I'm not perfect, I promise.
Wow. How do you schedule this exactly? Because I need to start doing this.
You know, so when I either plan my week or like the evening before, every evening when my kids are in bed, I try to list the things I need to get done the day after work-wise and, you know, just chores and anything else that requires to be done. I like writing down next to whatever task I have on my list, I write down an estimate of how long I think that would take me. You know, if it's laundry or like doing laundry or folding laundry, or I have to go to the post office or whatever, I just put a little estimate in parentheses, like half an hour, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And that helps me, like when it's my break from work, when my timer rings and I know I have to leave my desk, I'm like, okay, what can I do that's 10 minutes or 15 minutes? And I look at my list and I pick one.
Oh, so that's such a good idea. See, I think I would say, oh, you know, forget it. I'll just keep working here for another 5 minutes. And that turns into a half an hour. That's me.
Yeah, that happens to me too. I'm not perfect. And it
yeah,
can be
that's
tempting.
Good though.
Yeah.
No, I like that. I think, I mean, I've always thought about doing, you know, writing things down the night before like that. But I think that this is particularly a good idea because there are so many things throughout the day that come up, especially for those of us who work from home. We realize like a lot of things at home land on our plates. They just do.
Yeah.
And it can be hard to try to get all this done and still get in some movement and some exercise and the errands that need to be done and all of that. And yeah, maybe I'll start doing this. I know about the Pomodoro method. I should start setting my timer for 45 minutes and just sticking to that and then doing something 10 to 15 minutes coming back. Mm-hmm. Because it's true. I am one of those people who will sit at my computer and work and totally lose track of time. Mm-hmm. And it's not good. It's not good for your eyes. It's not good for just being sedentary. You know, they say that being sedentary now is actually as bad as smoking. As far as for your health. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not good. So, but, you know, we have to be careful of that as people who work from home. So these are some great ways for translators to build an exercise routine into a busy day. What about other things we might be able to do right in our home office, for example?
For me, I think what's really helpful is having some sort of a visual reminder. Otherwise, like I will forget, right? So unless my phone rings and tells me it's time to stop, or I have something around me that I notice that serves as a visual reminder, that's helpful for me. For example, you know, a yoga mat or a foam roller or that ball, like medicine ball or whatever that I use for bowl rolling, they can be great reminders to take short breaks and get a quick movement snack. I guess you could print pictures showing a few stretches or exercises. And I know that presentation by Eva that we both went to at the ATA conference.
Yes.
She did share some slide there that I could imagine, like if she shared them with those who attended, you could print them out and just like hang them. I would hang them on my wall and then it would be a great visual reminder for me to get up and stretch.
Yes.
I am a huge fan of bar, not the place where you get a drink, but the exercise bar. It's B-A-R-R-E. I've been doing it for the last 5 years. And I know it's not only is it great for your core and strengthening and lengthening smaller muscles, all you need is a stable chair or a desk to hold on to. So sometimes I do that right in my office. And just even getting, you know, 5 minutes of those exercises is really helpful. And using some props can make it especially fun and challenging. You know, you can use a resistant band or a ball. But generally, I think it's helpful to step out of your office every once in a while to get some fresh air or even just a change of perspective. I like having a welcoming space in my bedroom set up where I feel kind of grounded and reminded of the importance of self-care. So I would rather step out of my home office and do a quick workout or a stretch elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I also have this amazing acupressure mat, which works wonders on my sore back. I have scoliosis, and so my back tends to get really tight and sore. And so that mat is called Pranamat Echo, but there are some others around now that you can buy online. It looks weird and intimidating. It's covered with these tiny lotus flowers, and each petal has a sharp, pointy end. But it works wonders. It works like a deep tissue massage. It's really makes a huge difference on my back, neck, and shoulders. So I either lie down on it for 10 to 20 minutes or even put it on my chair and sit on it while I work. So that really helps me.
Wow. That's interesting. So for me, I don't love to exercise in my home office, but I have kept my Pilates mat in my office sometimes so that I can fit in, you know, 15 minutes of Pilates a couple of times a day. If you do this two or three times a day, you can get in 30 to 45 minutes of a workout just broken into shorter segments, which is what we talked about earlier. But one thing I would suggest to anyone who doesn't have a lot of time to exercise is just to make sure you enjoy whatever type of exercise it is that you choose to do. If you don't enjoy it, you're probably not going to do it, at least not long term. And also, I think it's important to have something fun to do if you like to walk or run. I like to listen to podcasts, so if I'm not really feeling like going for a run, I'll look for one of my favorite podcasts and download the latest episode so I can listen to it and enjoy that while I'm running.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I tried so many different workout types and quickly realized which ones are not my favorite. So I tend to stick to those that I enjoy, but I also like to challenge myself to try new ones from time to time. I think variety is important. I did only Pilates, yoga, and barre for 5 years. And then recently I tried indoor cycling, rowing, aerial yoga, and even mini trampoline workouts, which sounds crazy. But like if you asked me a couple of years ago about those, I would say no way. But I tried them this year. I was feeling adventurous one day and I tried them and I got hooked. So they're in my regular rotation now. And I think for me right now, it's really important to have that variety and to know that, you know, I can do different things depending on what kind of mood I'm in for and how long I have available time-wise. And I think that one factor that can be easy to overlook when we set goals is our time and availability limitations. The only time I can work out is when my kids are at school and on weekends. So I put the workouts in my calendar during that time. And for me, it's usually in the morning. It also helps to review your natural energy and productivity level throughout the day and the time of day when you like to work out. So as I mentioned, for me, it's early morning. If I, for some reason, couldn't get a workout in the morning or during the day, and all I have is the evening, I prefer to do like yoga or stretching, and only if I have to. And finally, when I catch myself skipping exercise or not being able to do it for an extended period of time, I like to ask myself what changed and what would make it easier for me to fit exercise or movement into my day. Have I been saying yes to too many things? Do I need to change things up and try and find a new place to work out? Like last year, I felt this way. And I, like for me, the solution was to change the gym, the studio where I used to go for many years. I just realized that it became, you know, same old, and I needed to change and try something else. And, you know, if you do want to try a new place, that could be a fun thing to do with a friend and then go get lunch together afterwards. So you're like killing two birds with one stone. You got to work out and add some time with your friend. What about your home office setup? I work at a regular desk, so I do notice a lot of tension in my back, neck, and shoulders. And of course, you know, hamstrings and hips get very tight from sitting so much too.
Yeah, I notice that I have a lot of tension in my shoulders as well, and also in my lower back. So I also have a standing desk in my office. I like to switch back and forth between sitting and standing throughout the day. And while that's not exactly considered exercise, I do think it's helpful to do this. I sometimes wish that I had one of those treadmill desks. I don't think I have the space for one, but if I had one, I would love to use it. I think, you know, just continuing to move throughout the day is really important. And we don't have the type of profession that a lot of people do who stand all day or who, I mean, I remember when I used to teach at the university, I was always on my feet. So it's just a really different when you're at a desk all day. So, okay. So what about nutrition habits for translators? Do you find that sitting at a desk a lot of the day makes us less likely to put a lot of effort into our nutrition?
I think so. And I think there have been some studies that showed a direct correlation between, you know, having a job where you sit at a desk all day and eating unhealthy. I have seen it myself, how easy it can be to eat lunch at my desk or just decide to, you know, get something quick to eat rather than getting a more balanced meal, say for lunch. The key for me is starting the day right with a healthy breakfast. I feel like the days where I really put some effort into my breakfast, and it doesn't have to happen in the morning. Sometimes I prep my breakfast the night before. Like if I have a really healthy, hearty breakfast, then I just kind of powers me through to lunchtime and also sets me in this right mood, you know, sets my whole day right and gives me the energy I need. Another big one for me is water. It is so easy to forget to drink enough water, especially if you drink coffee or other caffeinated beverages. They make you feel like you're drinking liquids, but they're actually making you even more dehydrated. And that can be dangerous, but it also makes us tired and sluggish. I used to be really good about it, but lately I've been forgetting to drink enough. So I always need to remind myself to keep drinking enough water. And I recently got a huge bottle, which has a marked timeline that goes from 6 to 12 to indicate the hours of the day where you need to remember to drink. So I prep it the night before and I put it on my bedside table. And I remember to drink water the moment I get up. And I carry it with me and keep it on my desk. And at noon, I refill it and just keep going until bedtime.
That's awesome. I'm one of those people who will have a coffee in the morning that I will drink most of the morning, the same cup, and warm it up like 3 times. And I used to be better about drinking water, but lately I've noticed I've gotten worse about it, like not paying attention to how much I'm drinking throughout the day. And the problem is then I feel thirsty later in the day. And we'll drink a lot of water in the evening, which, you know, then you feel like, have I had enough really? Yeah. And then, yes. But I like this idea. I've heard people using these bottles that are marked. We should put one in the show notes so people can see what you're talking about. Yeah. I think I did that for a while. I used to have an app on my phone to make sure that I got enough glasses of water throughout the day. And I had to actually log that. Yeah. I got out of the habit of that for some reason. I should get back into that. That's a good habit to have. But so yeah, I find that something that makes it a lot easier for me to eat healthy foods and whole foods during the week is to prepare a few things at the beginning of the week. So it might be a meal that lasts a couple of days or just, you know, having healthy snacks available. Because like you said, it's really easy when you work from a desk and you know, you feel like, oh, there's constantly one project after the other to handle, to just pick up whatever's the easiest and quickest thing. And it's oftentimes not the healthiest thing. So, for example, if I do the grocery shopping on a Friday or Saturday, then I'll spend some time over the weekend washing and cutting like fruit and vegetables, for example, to keep in the refrigerator all week. And I find that if the food's already chopped and ready to pull out when I'm hungry, then I'm more likely to eat those foods than to grab something else that might be fast or maybe not a healthy option. Do you also do some food or meal prep?
Yes, I do. And you know, I love the tip with pre-washing and pre-chopping the fruit and veggies. I used to do that a lot before I had my second kid. I don't know why things went downhill from there, but it's a great tip. And I remember I used to like put them in mason jars so they would be pre-portioned too. I need to get back to that. But you know what's strange though? Like I meal prep for the family and I prep my kids' lunches and snacks. And if you looked in my pantry, you would see that each of my kids have slightly different snacks because my son has some food allergies. So he can't eat all of the snacks that my daughter is having, for example. Each of them has a box in the pantry with the snacks they can pull for their lunch boxes or if they're hungry, you know, say after lunch on the weekend. And I prep their lunches for the next day. And I don't always do it for myself. Isn't it weird? Like how I don't prioritize myself. I think it's an indicator of how often we find someone else or something else more important than our own health.
Yeah.
And I'm very organized when it comes to making sure that my kids' snack boxes are full, that they can easily find some healthy options. And it also makes packing their lunch boxes easier. And I should really have like a snack box for myself. And I'm not talking like chips and popcorn, but you know, maybe like some little baggies with nuts or whatever, like some pre-washed apple slices or carrots or whatever that I can just pull out of the fridge. And the same goes for lunch. I made it a routine to pack my kids' lunches the night before, and it should be easy for me to do the same for myself. So I need to come up with some sort of daily tracker to remind myself and just check it off every day. But the thing is, like, I've seen them, like, I don't like using the apps on the phone because for me, that's temptation. That just, you know, you go down this black hole in your phone and you never come back, where you come back like an hour later. But, and so I like the paper trackers, but I often find that they are in some sort of journals or whatever, like diaries that are very fitness oriented or whatever, like diets. And I want it to be a part of my regular paper calendar or like paper journal.
Yeah.
So if I ever find one that has, you know, my schedule for the day and some place to track my water and my snacks. And not in terms of how much I've eaten, but like, yes, I have prepped my snack. I have prepped my lunch. Like, that would be great.
Well, I like your whole setup for your kids, everything. I mean, you should come to my house next and just set all of that up for us. Yeah. But as far as keeping track, I, like I said, I don't use the app anymore because it is like that. You get on your phone and this is terrible. I mean, you get on your phone sometimes and you mean to go do one thing and you end up in a social media app or something, or your email. Yeah. And you're right. It takes your mind off of what you meant to do. And also it's just, I don't even know how sustainable that is. Obviously it's not for me. I didn't continue it. But the tracking thing, you're right. There are a lot of trackers out there that you can find, but they're always related to something else, or they have more than you really want. And so what I've found when I have done this on paper is I just put it, because I use a regular paper agenda, planner, schedule, however you want to call it, all the time. I do it sort of, I don't know if you've heard of the bullet journal, how people, people mark, for example, each day they'll put like a number of squares or something, or they'll put some kind of marking that means something to them, and they'll track whatever it is they're trying to track. It could be fitness, it could be, you know, water intake, it could be, you know, reading for 30 minutes, whatever it is, and they'll check it off each day. I mean, it's a manual thing. You have to actually make the intention to do it, but I think there's something to that, like making the intention and then doing it yourself. So I'm saying it here. I will put it on my calendar from now on and try to do it manually and see if that works, because it's true. It makes a difference when you're checking it off and you realize when half the day is gone and you've been at your computer all day and you've only had one glass of water. Yeah. Unfortunately, that sometimes becomes the bad habit that we pick up. So, but I do. I love the idea of having everything prepped like that. And you're welcome here anytime to come and put that together. That's really a great idea.
I love organizing. So I'll come
organize apparently
your snacks.
Yeah, it's like it could be a new service offering for you. Yeah. But I like that habit. So another habit that I've found to be really handy is to make enough of a specific dish or meal at once and then to freeze half of it. This makes it really easy to pull out of the freezer during the weeks when I don't have a lot of time to cook or prepare meals at the start of the week. And I actually like to do this right before I travel for work so that I can have something healthy once I get home for the next few days. And I don't have to worry about grocery shopping or preparing anything when I'm trying to get back to work or, you know, take care of all the laundry or something from the trip or whatever. So I find that doing that, cooking and then freezing part of it, is really helpful. Do you do this too?
Oh, I only partially. That's a great habit. I need to start, you know, meal prepping before I travel. I have been reminding myself a lot lately to like cook in bulk so that I have extras frozen. So when I cook soup or casseroles or like pot roast or say quiche, which we eat a lot, I then pre-portion it into like smaller containers for me and my family. So it's easier to pull out and defrost as needed. And as I mentioned, one of my kids has multiple food allergies, so cooking can be challenging. And I like the fact that I'm able to like take shortcuts without compromising on quality of what I serve my family, because I do care, you know, what my kids get used to eating. And also, my husband's French, so he takes food pretty seriously. And another thing that I try to do is to cook together with my kids. They both love being in the kitchen with me, and that's our fun time together. It's not always easy, especially on a busy week night, and having a toddler around. Like, my daughter's a different story. She's old enough to actually be helpful, but a toddler in the kitchen can be interesting.
Yes. Yes.
But I try to, you know, stay patient and remind myself that we're having fun. You know, they're also learning things about what is good, healthy food. And also, I really find that they're more willing to try new things because they helped me cook them or prep them. Before.
Right. They feel like they take some ownership in it. Yeah, I have that experience too. Hmm. Yeah, but then you have to really strategically think, what can they actually help me with that's not make a huge mess
them.
Or hurt yeah. them? Or, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Usually my toddler will like toss things. Like if we have, for example, like cut up some vegetables with my daughter mm-hmm. and I'll put them in a bowl and I'll let my son like toss them in the bowl and I'll give him like a wooden spoon or whatever. And he is like mm-hmm. so proud of himself.
Yes.
So that's usually a safe thing.
Yes, last night I let Julia put all of the chopped cucumbers into a bowl for herself so she could have some hummus with cucumber, and she was pretty proud of that. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to do a quick recap of the habits that we mentioned today related to healthy exercise and nutrition habits for translators. We discussed, you know, making a schedule for yourself, maybe the night before, and seeing when you can fit in your exercise. We also talked about incorporating exercise throughout the day in segments, maybe short spurts of exercise, or getting up every so many, you know, minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes to do a movement snack, which is something that Eva Stabenow talks about. We also discussed having time in your day that's just for you, and making sure that you do exercise that you actually enjoy. And I think that's really important to remember, that it shouldn't feel like a chore all the time. So it should be something enjoyable. Perhaps having visual reminders available so that you can see something that makes you remember to get up and move and do something for yourself. Did I miss anything, Veronica?
No, I think we covered a lot.
We did. We covered a lot. So, and of course, the nutrition habits, you know, trying to pre-prep some food and make things easier for us during the week, freezing some things ahead of time or preparing things in advance. So we hope that this episode has given you some new strategies for creating better habits around exercise and nutrition. And if you happen to give any of these habits a try, or if you have some smart habits to share on this topic, please let us know. Send us an email at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com or leave a comment on our website under the show notes for this episode.
So now it's time for a smart habit check-in. This is where we ask each other about a habit we may have committed to in a previous episode and check in with each other on how we're doing or what we might do better. So, Madalena, what habit are you working on that we've discussed before?
I'm actually using and loving your idea from episode 1 about keeping an ideas wish list. Okay. I did just what you said, and I have used post-it notes on a large sheet of paper near my desk. And when a new idea comes to me, I write it there so I won't forget it. And then I have it recorded if I want to try to tackle it later or just throw it out if it's not something that interests me or fits into my priorities anymore. What about you?
So I used several tips that we discussed in episode 3 on attending conferences while I was at the ATA conference in Palm Springs. I took a notepad with me and I had to run to the store to get some tape, but I got some tape, and then I used that notepad to keep track of the business cards of people I met. So on the left side of the page, I taped their business cards, and on the right side, I wrote down where we met, what we talked about, and what I needed to say in my follow-up message after the conference, just like some ideas. And this only took me 5 minutes each evening and saved me so much time after the conference. Like, I was able to send out all of my follow-up notes or messages or emails and the same day. It was really...
Wow, that's great. Okay, I think we have time to fit in one of our other short segments. So let's talk about what's on our desk this week. In this segment, we each share a tool or an object that we find really helpful in helping us to stick to a smart habit. So Veronica, what's on your desk this week?
So when I was unpacking from the conference, I realized that I haven't mentioned my favorite notebook yet. I've used it for a year now, and it has become such an integral part of my work that I often forget to mention it. It just seems like it's a regular notebook, but of course it's not. It's called Rocketbook Everlast, and it looks like a regular notebook, but after you write in it, you scan it with your phone, and the content on the page goes straight to your email or any cloud service that you use to store and organize data. There are symbols at the bottom of every page, and they represent your preferences for where you want the content to go. And when you cross them off and then scan them with your phone, the system knows where to send it. So I take like minutes of meetings in this book. I write down my thoughts when I take some training courses or webinars that I take, and then I scan and send this to my OneNote and I file it in a specific folder. And I love that I still get the pen and paper experience that helps me like internalize and memorize what I write down, but it's also super easy to store this digitally and find when needed. And I took notes during the ATA conference sessions in that notebook, and it took me 2 minutes to store my notes in my OneNote. And the best part is when you're done, you can wipe off the ink with like a microfiber cloth and some water, and then you have a blank page. And so you reuse the notebook again and again.
I wondered about that. I wondered if you needed to like repurchase paper.
No, I mean, unless like it happened to me that by accident I grabbed a wrong pen, because you're supposed to use a specific pen for this. And when I grabbed a wrong pen and which looked exactly the same, and I wrote with that different ink, it doesn't come off. So that page is ruined now. But if you use the pen you're supposed to use, it just comes off. I know they had a previous version of that notebook. You had to microwave it. And then, like, I think I saw it on Shark Tank a couple of years ago, and I was like, that's too weird. I'm not going to microwave my notebook.
No, that's weird.
And they came out with, and I'm not sure, maybe it was a different company, but I feel like it's that company. They came out with this version that you just erase it with water, and that's perfect. Like, I love it. So what about you? What's on your desk?
So right now, what's on my virtual desk, let's say, something I'm really enjoying and appreciating the bit of sanity it gives me is I've created, it sounds so simple, of course, but you know, it's one of those things that I think we just ignore. But I've created a special folder in my email that allows me to put emails that are new that I need to respond to into it. And I just created a folder for it. It's not like it came with my email inbox, but I put the emails into it that I need to answer, but that maybe don't need to be answered right now, because I'm the kind of person that wants to be always at inbox zero.
Yeah.
And that's great, but it's difficult. And also there are some things that just don't require a response right away, and they can wait until the next day or, you know, that evening or something. I don't have all of, you know, like this, what looks like my inbox piling up, for example. And I've been able to separate it into different categories so that I have, like, you know, all of my volunteer stuff is together and things like that. So what's urgent, I try to get back to right away, but then everything else, I try to batch all my emails at once for certain things.
Oh, that's so awesome.
If they don't require a quick response, and I have to actually like look something over or prepare something to send to somebody, and I can't do it right away, then I put it there and I try to do it all at once. And it has saved me a lot of time, actually, because there's something to be said about that time you lose when you switch between tasks.
Yes.
And if you're like me and you just finished a task and then you go to check your email, it's really easy to get caught up in your inbox. And then you still have 5 things left on your to-do list today that aren't getting done. So I've created a special folder. That's what's in my virtual desk this week.
I love it. I need to do the same thing. I relate.
Yeah.
I try to answer, or at least like I've read it, but then I tried to like mark it as unread, you know, but it's still in the back of my head.
It's still in your inbox. And so what I actually try to do is I don't even open the email unless I realize from the subject or from knowing what the conversation is about, that it's something I need to get back to right away. If it's something I know I don't need to, it just goes into the folder. I don't even open it, because then it's not on my mind until I'm ready to look at it. And I use G Suite, which is like the Gmail for business. And so my inbox, the folders are alphabetical. I can't really change that. So I want this folder to be at the top of my list of folders so that it's easily accessible and I can always see it when there's something in it. So what I did is I named the folder, but before the name, I put the at symbol.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's on the keyboard, the mm-hmm. at symbol.
Yeah.
And it puts it at the top of the list of right. folders. So that was a little tweak that I didn't realize would work, but it does work. So that's where they go. And then at the end of the day or the next day, early in the morning, I'll answer everything at once.
Oh, I love it.
So that's it for this week's episode. By the way, if you heard us brainstorming about a book club for translators in episode 5, about reading more when you're not working, we have good news for you. Yves Baudu, one of the hosts of the Speaking of Translation podcast, has announced that she's starting a book club for translators in 2020. So check out that podcast. I'm sure she'll share more details there soon. And yeah, so now we have a book club we can join.
Awesome. I yes. love it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you'd like to be notified when our episodes are released, you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to them. Our newsletter subscribers will receive a template that's going to help them track habits, some of the habits we talked about today, for example, about exercise and nutrition, and we'll send that out on December 10th. So if you'd like to receive it, please sign up for our emails on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com. And then join us again on December 17th when we'll share some smart habits related to overcoming guilt that you might feel when it comes to working and making time for family commitments.
Talk to you then.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered a simple strategy that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover on this podcast, please record a quick voice message and email it to us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, please leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts, and please share the podcast with other translators you know.